So for Fish River, we made a bid of up to 5 years for our contract, and we basically said to the Clean Energy Regulator how many emissions we could actually achieve in terms of carbon abatement. So we were successful in our bid, and we're basically contracted to deliver 115,000 tonnes of carbon abatement over 5 years. So what that means for us is that we're able to secure funding for a period of 5 years to cover our cost of production there. And any additional revenue that is achieved over and above the cost of production goes back into the property management and the achievement of jobs on country and other co-benefits like biodiversity management and cultural protection on the property as well.
So potentially how many dollars is that over 5 years?
Well, we're unable to disclose the price achieved at auction, but as you may know, the average price per tonne of abatement achieved at that auction was $12.25. So I'm unable to say whether we're above or below that, but there is a sort of range that different groups have achieved around that average weighted price.
When does the money start to flow?
The money should start to flow as soon as we've achieved our abatement for the year. So basically we have the burning season, in the early dry season. And we obviously, fight fires in the late dry season and try and minimise the amount of fire that happens during that period. And at the end of the year, you basically tally all that up and you do your project offset report, which compares your burning season against your baseline. And you put that into the Clean Energy Regulator, who issues you with credits. Once those credits are into your account, you then basically give them back to the Clean Energy Regulator for the price that you've been contracted to deliver.
Not sure if I'm using the right words, but essentially having a customer for the next 5 years, what does that mean to the project?
It means that we're able to proceed with certainty, I suppose. So we have a number of Indigenous rangers who work on the property and who do that fire planning, who do that fire management in the early dry season, fight fires in the late dry season, and do all sorts of other management on the property as well, like around weeds and feral animals and cultural site protection and so forth. So what that means is that we're able to give those Indigenous rangers certainty moving forward for at least the next 5 years and hopefully well into the future beyond that as well.
And when it comes to carbon farming, certainty hasn't been in bucket loads over the years, has it?
No, it hasn't. I mean, the policy framework has been a bit of a moving feast. Obviously, we had a carbon pricing mechanism, which means that once you generate your carbon credits, you're able to sell those on to sort of the corporate sector or what we called liable entities at that stage. Right now, I guess over the last few years, there's been a bit of a state of flux as the carbon tax has been repealed and as they move now into this thing they call the Emissions Reduction Fund. So now at least we've bedded down a little bit of that policy and we're able to at least have that certainty going forward. I mean, obviously, if there's a change of government next year, then we're back to the drawing board, I suppose, in terms of what that might mean for carbon policy going forward.
Yeah, right. So a five-year contract might not mean anything if there is a change of government, potentially.
Well, we expect that any change of government would have to honour any contract that's been entered into under the Emissions Reduction Fund. But the gamble for us, I suppose, was that, projecting forward, if we did have a change of government, is it likely to implement something more like an emissions trading scheme, which might mean that it's actually a better situation for us to wait and gamble and see what that next new government might bring. But we expect, certainly there would be an honouring of the any current Emissions Reduction Fund contract. So at least we've got that going forward and we're able to assess, from that point onwards, we're able to assess our options going forward.
Just going back to the average price of a carbon credit from this auction at $12.25, that's a long way off what carbon credits used to be worth. People were once getting well over $20. For each credit, for each tonne. Is carbon farming still viable if that's what the average price is?
Well, it really depends on the type of method you're using, I suppose. So for savanna burning projects, they typically have quite a high cost of production because you're out there, obviously in remote areas, you're trying to support jobs on country. So it does, it does have quite a high cost of production. Because if you compare savanna burning to, for example, energy efficiency methods or, industrial type methods where some of these companies might be doing that anyway if it makes good business practice, if you know what I mean, if you're getting a return on investment for that project anyway. So there's been a few concerns, I suppose, with some of those methods, that are they actual genuine abatement in the economy? But regardless, I suppose it's much cheaper for those types of credits to be generated than it is for the savannah burning projects, where you are trying to support co-benefits like jobs on country and additional biodiversity management and so forth.
And just finally, beyond carbon credits, what results are you seeing on country out there at Fish River by taking on this sort of early season burning program?
We're seeing some great results at Fish River. Certainly the country has responded really well to the savannah burning method that we've applied there, in terms of, fewer fires, less severe fire regimes, and obviously trying to change that seasonality into the early dry season. And certainly the jobs that the rangers are doing out there beyond fire is really starting to make a difference as well. So there's a lot of cultural site protection and management that goes on, a lot of weed management, a lot of feral animal management as well. So we follow the IUCN categories of protection, so we're trying to manage that property for conservation, including fire and including all sorts of other conservation priorities as well.